Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. John Moxley's running the show. Nigel McGuinness finally gets his shot, and Mariah May is missing something or someone. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by the Iron Woman, Emily May, going bell to bell this week at Wrestling Inc. Thanks for joining
us. Oh my goodness, I'm getting in the marathon of wrestling shows all week. We've been hanging out, Jack.
Yeah, you've been very busy. You've been making sure you're a part of everything. But hey, that's always a good thing. It's good to be in front of all the amazing and wonderful folks we have here joining us. Again, I call them co-hosts because they help out with the show when I read out all their stuff. But everyone here, we appreciate you coming through. Corey Pride, call me a diva. How dare you, saying that we're starting late because I was fixing my hair. Well, guess what? I wake up with my hair like this.
I feel like you have a thing that's ready to go with it.
It looks like Darth Vader when the thing comes down, except it's my hair. It's like,
you have a hair helmet. You have a helmet that you just kind of...
Danny says, battle of the perfect hair. James Winter says Jimmy's hair is not Jimmy. Jimmy does the best he can with what he has. But
we all try.
But yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff to cover. I'm glad you're on the show with me because there's a lot to cover and you've got great insight. I want to start with some news we have, and this could be really big news actually. And it's about AEW chatting with Fox. According to Fightful Select, sources say AEW has been in talks with Fox. Though Fox refused to comment officially, Andrew Zarian reported that Fox liked the ad revenue that WWE SmackDown was bringing in on Friday nights, but the show itself was too expensive and that a cheaper wrestling property was enticing to the network. That said, there's no official word on whether there's any kind of deal or the prospects of a deal, or even if AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery agreed to a non-exclusive contract. So a lot of stuff isn't official. This is all still rumors and innuendos, as they say, but very exciting for a young company to potentially have even more access to television time.
Well, and that's the thing is because, you know, obviously WWE is shifting their programming to other networks in the coming months and then in 2025, this really is an amazing opportunity for AEW to look at different networks. And I know, you know, they're looking at TBS, like, you know, Warner, the doors are open and wrestling is more mainstream and popular than ever. So networks are looking, not only streaming, but cable networks are looking for the opportunity to pick up companies. You know, we've seen NWA get picked up by CW and all of these other companies as well. So I think this is, you know, obviously it's rumor, speculation, innuendo, like you said, and we won't know the official business terms, and you know, no one can really talk about it till everything's signed on the dotted line. But I'm intrigued to see, you know, what else will happen for AEW's like TV programming rights.
Well, I like to wildly speculate, and I just assume that Fox is going to be running AEW in prime time every single week, every single weekday. So,
you think that's what's going to happen?
The whole thing,
Monday through Sunday.
Monday through Sunday, it's going to be like the nightly news now, except it's going to be AEW on Fox. It's something. And Corey Pride, I do want to say, says Fox doesn't know how unfriendly AEW is to families, cursing, blood, etc. Fox, if they're going to sign a contract, they know exactly what they're getting. They're not, no company like coming back Fox is not just willy-nilly signing contracts like this without knowing what they're getting.
And also, like, it has to be a mutual benefit for both parties, right? It's just like any type of you're like AEW is interviewing Fox or whatever network just as much as Fox is interviewing them, right? Mm-hmm. It's they have to understand, like, AEW is not going to want to change their whole programming structure, the style, the, you know, the look and feel, unless it's a mutually beneficial or agreed upon term in their contract. So again, that's just like my business brain going off there, but it definitely has to be mutually beneficial.
Yeah, it's something too that, you know, I always see people talk about ratings, and I always see people talk about like ratings as if it's the most important thing in pro wrestling. And I'm a big believer in ratings don't tell the full story. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this, because a lot of people would say, well, WWE's killing it, and they are killing it. But, you know, AEW, look at their numbers. No one's going to want them. But I find it interesting that there are now rumors. Again, it's just rumors. But the big company, Fox, is parting ways with WWE. It may pick up a smaller rating company like AEW because there are still options there. And I think so often, at least on Twitter, wrestling fans get so caught up in, oh, well, the metrics say that this is where it is. This, you know, for 15 minutes, they dip below this number. And it's like, yes, that's true, but there's so much more to it in the world of television and broadcast and all this other stuff. You can't get so caught up in these things. And look, they may not be on Fox tomorrow, ever. This may not be a thing, but
literally, what is it? It's Wednesday. Literally tomorrow, yeah, there could be a press release, and then this whole story is out the window, right? Where they can announce something, you know, tomorrow. Again, rumor, speculation. Yes. I don't know.
I love rumors and speculation, because then I can just say whatever I want. And there's
like
no
the drama. You like base. The drama.
I just like not having to ground what I say in reality or facts. It just makes it easier if I can just say whatever I
just
want.
Just make stuff up, Jack. Just
yeah, it's the best. But yeah, see, Corey Pride says WWE did 2.5 million viewers on Fox. AEW is lucky if it gets 800. But again, that's the point. One of these people, rumor against rumor, may be on Fox next year and the other won't be. And it's not necessarily based on the ratings. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it.
And also,
ratings are bad, but.
And also, I don't like to pick sides or like do any of that, like, you know, tribalism stuff. But because obviously we cover it all, right, Jack?
Yeah. Yeah.
We look at it from all types of perspectives. And the thing is, like, you're looking at a 5-year-old company versus a decade old company. You're looking at mm-hmm. something that's a little bit more established versus one that's still growing. There's so many factors, like you said, Jack, that goes into these discussions for TV rights, for even merchandise deals, for licensing, for venues, all of that, for ticket sales, for what cities they pick. There's so mm-hmm. many things that go into this. And I get that the wrestling fans are like so quick to jump on every little thing that both of these companies might potentially do wrong, or, you know, that might not go over well, or if there's like 5 people in the audience, but there's always more factors involved. So that's all there. I got off my soapbox.
Yeah. No, but you're right. Because I agree with you. Like, I'm a big fan of all of them. And I don't want anyone to think what I'm saying about Fox, like, and then moving on from WWE is a shot at WWE. Look, WWE is more successful than they've ever been. And that's, speaking of metrics, you can see that on the balance sheet. They are more successful than they've ever been. I love something John Cena said recently, where he's like, in 2012, the stock price was like $17, and now it's $117. And so that shows how big they've been and how great they've been. WWE's doing just fine. I'm just trying to say, don't get so hung up on these numbers that people are throwing out there as if it's the end of the world.
Yeah. I always say, like, I know we have to move on to more news stuff, but I always say, like, let's just enjoy it. Like, we're in an amazing time in the wrestling world where we get to watch wrestling every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, depending on, you know, if you're catching up on stuff. And so I think we should just embrace it, and we can get into the nitty gritty of the business and all that stuff. But sometimes that's more exhausting, and sometimes I just like to enjoy it. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And not to try to get the final word, but it does make me think of, I saw Mad Max, the Furiosa movie just recently.
Was it less than 2 hours?
It was more than 2 hours, and I was very upset. They could have cut out 30 minutes of that movie, let me tell you. But I enjoyed the movie. I was like, this is a really good movie. I had fun. I think it's a fantastic world they built. The characters were awesome. But then I saw it didn't do very well in theaters. I was like, well, that sucks. I can't enjoy this movie now because it didn't do well in theaters. And that's how I feel like it sounds like when people are like, oh, yeah, but the ratings weren't good, so it must be a bad show. Like, just enjoy it. Who cares? I've never known what ratings were for shows I've liked in the past. That's what I always say. When I was watching The Simpsons as a kid, I wasn't like, well, what are the ratings like on this program?
I hope not. I was the nerdiest
kid.
Yeah, you were like, let me pull out the books.
Pull out a giant calculator.
I don't know. This 18 to 45 demographic isn't doing very well.
My dad's like, go outside and play.
We went on a rant. Let's get back.
Let's talk about more nerdy stuff. Let's talk about legal stuff and Jericho trademarking. Hi guys, on Tuesday. So he's adopted the catchphrase recently, obviously, with the learning tree. And he's starting to get popular. So he's trademarked it for shirts and hats and things of that nature. This is, I think, just a smart move. Hi, guys, I think is a phrase that's getting over and also very easy to put on a t-shirt. I think this is a smart move by Jericho.
Yeah, 100%. You always have to think about the marketability. Can you make merchandise? Are people going to be chanting it? Like, it's a smart move to, you know, and that's just a rule also just on the independent scene too. If you're a wrestler, if you're, you know, Jack Farmer, you got to trademark your name. To everyone, you should always understand the business side of it and make sure you're protected. And that's one way that they can do that, by putting that out there, filling out that paperwork.
Yeah. It is interesting, I guess, to compare to WWE. Do you think AEW is leaving money on the table, letting the wrestlers do all this stuff on their own? I will say, I don't like to critique companies, but I will say, going to a WWE show and going to an AEW show, the merch situation, very different between the two. Do you think AEW leaves money on the table, not capitalizing on some of the merch?
I think it kind of depends on the wrestler. I feel like certain merchandise, I think, in AEW does obviously better than others. And so I think I feel like it's just a smaller team too. Like, yeah. WWE has a huge juggernaut of like a whole creative services team that helps make that happen. So I think it's just a different level at this point. I mean, I think it will continue to grow on AEW side, but I think it's just different.
Yeah, there is a huge machine behind the WWE's marketing department. But I always feel like, you know, Tony Khan, it's kind of nice because Tony Khan lets people sort of live and die on their own merch sales. But at the same time, I look at how much money WWE makes from it. I'm like, man, why don't you have the big machine printing up t-shirts? But it's not my money, so what do I care? let's talk a little bit about wrestler injury updates. The Blade posted a video on his Instagram recently. It's him walking around the hospital hallway, a photo of himself eating some Jell-O, comments from lots of AEW stars on there, including the long absent Miro, wishing the Blade well. Sounds like the Blade is in for a little bit more recovery time. Butcher and the Blade, one of my favorite old school AEW teams. Hopefully he gets better soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's always tough seeing, you know, wrestlers have injuries, and there's been a lot kind of in a lot of companies recently, and it takes time. And it is really exciting when they like start really getting into their recovery, and hopefully they get back soon. And that's all we can hope for is it doesn't take too long and they're healthy, and sometimes they're stronger when they come back. So
Secular Belt saying TK has access to the NFL machine. Stop making excuses. That's two different companies. He doesn't just get to use the NFL to make AEW stuff.
They're two different organizations.
Roger Goodell isn't like, yeah, sure, I can make stuff for you for free. Like, I mean, what about NFL prices makes you think that they're just doing favors for companies like that? It's totally different ball game. But we got Meltzer talking about some folks who are taking some time off after AEW All In and All Out. He discussed discuss the current status of both MJF and Garcia, Daniel Garcia, after their match. They said that they're under the impression Daniel Garcia has not signed a new contract with AEW, which is why he probably didn't win the match at All In. Meanwhile, MJF is set to take time off, explaining the post-match beatdown he suffered, creating an injury angle. So he's going to be gone for a little bit. Something else is, it looks like Swerve Strickland is taking some time off, and that was something that had been planned apparently after he signed the contract. So this was something they were waiting for. Tough time to lose two of your biggest stars, MJF and Swerve Strickland. Garcia, I'm really big on. I always say I think he's the future, but everyone gets mad at me when I say that. But we don't know whether or not he's sticking around. But MJF and Swerve are bona fide stars coming off of big shows. Tough to come to lose both those guys at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it is really tough to kind of lose both of them because they're kind of losing their momentum. I think MJF might be doing a movie, I heard, as well. Mm. So maybe that's part of what was planned, is he's going to take some time off to film that. But yeah, I wish, like, they're so important to AEW programming and to pushing these stories. And so now they have to fill this hole with other talent, which I think creates, again, some creative problems. You know, obviously building to, you know, Grand Slam in a few weeks. And they're so good on television. They're ratings boosters. And so to mm-hmm. lose them is tough.
Yeah, MJF doing a movie is cool to hear because I know he's into that. I've always said, I got a feeling we're not going to have MJF in wrestling much longer. I think he's going to be Hollywood much sooner than later. So we should enjoy MJF. I just got a feeling he's going to be making his way to Hollywood so young too, because he's still like 28. So he'll probably be like 33 by the time he's full time in the movie world.
Yeah. I mean, he's producing, I think, and then probably in doing cameos, like, and having roles. So I think he's slowly building that aspect of his life.
And we also got in the chat, Corey Pride asking, why is Garcia getting a push if he's not under contract? You see this a lot with people actually that they want to keep. You see that with Drew McIntyre. He hadn't signed a contract mm-hmm. and they were still using him quite a bit. You see that with Sheamus. He's on TV quite a bit. And he's still in the process of signing, last I heard anyway. So you want to keep people in a good mood if you think they're going to be, especially if it feels like you're going to sign and you're just hashing out the details. I think the worst thing you can do in a tense contract situation is, I'm going to bury you. Now let's try to sign a contract. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Emily? You're going to get them to quit before you, you know, get anything signed if you do that.
Flobo Boyce asks, what role in Hollywood would MJF do? So everyone in the chat, this is a great question. Flobo Boyce, very peculiar name. Big fan of the show, though. Always writing in letters. say he's such a huge fan of Wrestling Inc. Everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, I would love to hear you guys, if you were a casting director, and Emily, I'm going to ask you, so you better start racking mm-hmm. your brain. Mm-hmm. You could cast MJF as any character. What movie do you want to see him in? You can reboot a movie too. So if you're like, I want to reboot Gone with the Wind, he could be Rhett Butler. And that's a throwback for you.
That is a stretch, Jack. That's a stretch. The movie that came to mind, actually, right now, as you said it, is, I kind of could see, if they redid The Hangover, I could see MJF as being Bradley Cooper's character.
Oh, I could see that. That would be a good
right? one. Right? Where he kind of has the attitude. He's kind of like, kind of, you know, yeah. I can't say this on the podcast, but yeah, he's not really the nice guy in that movie. But I feel like he has like that charisma and kind of the attitude to pull that off. I think that would be a good movie for him to redo.
I feel like getting in trouble. Everyone in the chat, write in what words you think Emily wasn't allowed to say, just what you think she just cut herself off.
There was a few asterisks after what I was gonna say.
Steven says MJF would be a good Lost Boy. Oh, that's a good one. He'd actually do pretty good in a lot of Kiefer Sutherland roles, actually.
Yeah.
MJF could play Dennis Hopper's role in the remake of Speed. That's an interesting one.
Oh, okay. I think it would be like a good supervillain, like a really good supervillain. Like which Marvel or like DC Comics, like which comic book villain would he be good at? Let's get that in the chat. I'm curious.
Yeah, he would be a great villain. There's a lot of villains he could be. Corey Price says Risky Business as Tom Cruise. Adonde says The Wedding Singer. We got Lex Luthor. We got Jason Bourne.
Okay.
MJF and the Sopranos. MJF as a young Jack Farmer in Jack's biopic. Don't make it sound like I'm that old. That made me sound like Father Time there. As a young, as a much younger Jack Farmer.
Maybe Jack Farmer.
Tom Hanks in the movie Big. That role. MJF is Wolverine. I could see that. MJF could be the Joker. A bulky Joker.
Yeah, I mean, Joker is a new one. The new one's just coming out, like, this weekend, right? This week?
Well, yeah, Wolverine, MJF as Hellraiser. Ooh, that'd be scary. Ooh. Hannibal Lecter, yeah. You know, I'd like to see him do something friendly and fun. I'd want to see him be a happy character and see if he could pull that off. That's what I want to see. I want to see if he can play the Mr. Rogers character and make us believe him.
I don't know. We'd really have to see him work.
a League of Their Own, the coach, Tom Hanks. A lot of people picking Tom Hanks characters, which is fascinating to me.
I kind of want to see him do, like, what's his character in the Chicago? Billy Flynn character in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Richard Gere
in the movie. Yeah. I feel like he'd be really good in a role like that.
He would be really good in that role. Secular Belt says MJF and Die Hard. It'd be great if they did Die Hard with him. But since he's Jewish, it's not on Christmas. It's during Hanukkah that it happens.
I feel like there is a version of that in an alternate universe. He needs to do, like, they only have like 10 Hanukkah movies on Lifetime, Hallmark. He needs to star in a Hanukkah holiday movie. I'm just saying. He'd be perfect.
There is actually probably a lot of money in that. Why not? It's anytime you see a holiday that isn't represented in movies or music or something.
Every time there's like a Hanukkah holiday movie on Lifetime or Hallmark, I'm the first one to watch it.
Well, we've got, keep them coming. This is great. You know, we talked a lot this weekend, Emily, about All Out. And I just want to say to everyone who hasn't had a chance to check out that show where we broke down that entire program, check it out. It's up on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We break it all down. It was an amazing show. We talked about the lack of fire. It was a great time. Check it out. But let's talk about the show. Actually, before we do, I do something every time. I shout people out. I shout out all the people who are here with us. Paul Don, I Am Air, J.R. Smith, Danny Cochran, the real DM Hunk, Dylan Matthews, Corey Pride, Beer Money, Jose, James, Raul, I haven't seen you before, Wayne, Brianne, and Tuck, and Steven and Maria and Jeroy and Scotty Karma and Mr. X and Dada Dada and Adonde. Great to see all you guys. So many folks here. Peter Joseph, Paul Don. Paul Don says MJF is Jerry Maguire. That's another good one.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Lots of Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks movies.
Just in general, and the MJF would be good for it, but they've got a lot of them in general together. Jose says I gave up on the last, I ran out of time. It's Jose Tapote, right? Am I saying that right? Let me know if I say it right. Let's talk about this show though. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All in at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com. So we had a bunch of stuff. There's kind of a through line coming through the show. And it started with this great video, John Moxley from All Out. Moxley says he doesn't enjoy what he had to do, but Bryan Danielson no longer has the stomach for this. Moxley says AEW is infested with egos and that they are out of control. Then Moxley ends by saying diplomacy has failed. Today I choose war. He backed that up later by ending a six-man tag match before it even started, where Pac said as well, diplomacy has ended. The company is ours. Now, we're going to talk about Darby Allin and John Moxley in just a little bit. But for now, this little part, very fascinating. What's going on with this group? And John Moxley, as opposed to the BCC, Moxley's clearly the leader as opposed to just sort of an open forum.
Yeah, I mean, this was that moment where John Moxley, when it was announced that he was going to be, you know, appearing and making a statement, this was the statement, is he's the leader of this group. He is, it seems like he wants to take AEW in a different direction, his direction. And it's obviously going to be filled with war and violence. And I think that's terrifying for everyone else.
Yeah, this is, I love that he is the leader. I love that he is just so much more angry, kind of, I think, what the Blackpool Combat Club was supposed to be. I love the little reference to William Regal as well. He called him the Lord, which was Lord Stephen Regal. So I almost called him Stephen just now. But something that stood out to me as well with all this, Wheeler Yuta, not there. What do you think's going on with him?
I mean, the heartbreak from, I feel like there's this aftermath of everyone's trying to figure out from All Out where everyone stands. Where is everyone? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if the chat has ideas, but I feel like there was a lot of heartbreak this past weekend. Yeah. And everyone's recalibrating. Whose side do you really want to be on? You know, what's the ultimate goal for? And I feel like you have to either decide you're in a group, you're not, or you go in it for yourself.
Yeah, this is a group that what I like about them is they sort of force you to pick a side. They're going to pick fights with people. They're going to tear things apart. And I'm enjoying this version of this group. I felt like the group did. I also love how they kind of they are really packing in some things that feel like their reality, which is always great in pro wrestling. The fact that there's egos running wild that we always hear about backstage, but also the fact that maybe they got a little soft, and the Blackpool Combat Club did start to feel a little soft because they were the good guys. They were starting to become kind of fun. And I like that John Moxley said, no, we're going back to my way of doing things, which is the bad way of doing things. Uh-huh. Also pull it
the
off.
Bad, the right way.
The right way. Oh yeah. Bring the fire. I forgot. Yeah. Also pulling off the V-neck t-shirts. Of course I got to enjoy that. I'm like, bring it, fellas. I always feel
you
like
love
I look
your
like
V-neck shirts.
I love my V-necks. John Moxley though. I'm like, dude, you're getting pretty swole, dude. You've been working out with Brian.
I feel like the last year he's been jacked.
He's been getting big. He's been lifting the heavies lately. Uh-huh. He's been going for weight, not for reps, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he had to get ready for this new group, you know, new recalibration.
Tony Khan was like, listen, you're going to have to wear some very tight V-necks. And he was like, okay, I'll hit the gym. I'm going to get ready for this.
Exactly. You need to show your tricep, show your, you know, all that. You gotta get those traps going.
Later in the night, now he's been calling out Darby Allin for a while, and Darby Allin eventually just comes out and says, let's chat. John Moxley comes out, and Darby says that he used to want to be just like John Moxley, but after what Moxley did to Danielson, now Darby doesn't want to be anything like him. Moxley says that you got a title shot, but it ain't happening. You and I are going to fight with your title shot on the line. How do you feel? I won't preface it. What do you think about this? I'm not going to put anything out there. I just want your thoughts.
I mean, I don't know. This felt a little like it felt a little soon for this. And that's it. Like, it just felt like Darby Allin just decided. I mean, it makes sense. Like, he doesn't want to be like Moxley because of the Danielson situation. It shocked everyone. The irony is Darby Allin has done some of the craziest things in AEW. Some of the most wild spots we've seen in recent wrestling history. And so the fact that it bothered Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, like it kind of puts it into perspective. Like, right. Oh, you bothered one of the craziest wrestlers in the world. So it kind of puts everything into perspective. Like, okay. All right. And then, you know, it kind of brings the emotion back into it of like, Moxley isn't his inspiration anymore, isn't his thing to look up to. And that's where that impact of like, it's past, like titles aren't even as important anymore because you're putting your, what you love about wrestling on the line. Like, that's what it's about. You put like the trust is gone. The love for it is gone because, you know, Moxley broke the trust of Darby Allin, and it seems like probably a lot of others, especially Daniel.
I love that you said this, because the idea of, especially in pro wrestling, like, we've all had our heroes let us down, or to a degree, you know, in one way or another. And something that I had the chance to chat with Dax Harwood a while ago, and I remember him saying, no one knows what a dropkick feels like. No one knows what a superplex feels like, but they know what heartbreak feels like. They know what disappointment feels like. And this is kind of one of those things. This is very different, but, you know, I grew up a Hulkamaniac. I loved Hulk Hogan. And then, of course, some stuff has happened and it lets you down. And you're like, oh my God, my hero let me down. And so I think a lot of us have had moments like that where your hero lets you down and you're kind of heartbroken about it. And so that's something that I feel like fans can resonate with. The big piece here, there's a big thing that happened here. This is what a lot of people were talking about. This is the second time Darby Allin has had a title shot and he put it up on the line. He lost the last one. Mm-hmm. Feels like he's going to lose it again here. Do you think that this is them pivoting in a story to go in a different direction for whatever reason? Or do you think this was always the plan for them? Because it feels a little weird that Darby got the title shot a long time ago and now suddenly it looks like it's going to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of unfair to him, right? To just have this happen again, potentially, right? For a second time, him not necessarily get this moment for him. So I feel like they are somewhat pivoting or trying to figure out, like, are we, like, is he moving in a different direction? Is this heartbreak and this storyline going to kind of pivot where he is? I'm not sure, but like, I feel like it is kind of unfair for him to build all of this up for a second time and then potentially not have that moment. So I'm trying to see where he's going right now with this, because it could potentially be really like catastrophic for him.
Yeah, this was a lot of people were saying should have closed the show, and I get that. I think in a vacuum, this feels like it should have closed the show. It would have bookended the show really well, but of course, and we'll get to later Nigel McGuinness, but obviously Nigel McGuinness's segment would not have made sense if it came before it came this.
Before,
So, I get that's a little clunky. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Carlos says, isn't Darby from Washington? I think Darby and Mox and Brian at WrestleDream. Yes, Darby is from Washington. He's from Seattle. Of course, me being a Tacoma, Washington boy means I'm more of a Swerve fan because he's from Tacoma as well. But of course, I root for them all. And Brian Danielson's from Aberdeen, but I'm from Tacoma. Who cares about Aberdeen? Come as you are.
Battle it out.
Come as you are. The city phrase, logo, catchphrase. I don't know what you call motto. That's the word I'm looking for. And that's why the song Nirvana is Come As You Are. It's from little history.
Fun fact.
No one cares about. There's your 90s rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Last thing, though, there was a back and forth between them where Darby was like, I don't know what you're up to, Mox. And Mox's like, listen, I don't have time to explain what's going on. What I love about these little things is, and I hope they don't let me down, is it feels like there's something big happening that is about to unfold here. I know a lot of people throw out names like Shane McMahon, big takeovers. Do you want to throw a wild speculation on what could be happening here? Or do you think it's just John Moxley's like, you don't understand, I got to beat everybody up.
No, I don't know if I could speculate that something, I don't get the feeling that something big, like a big surprise is going to happen. I know I heard that rumor and speculation innuendo. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not feeling it here. I feel like it needs more time to build in order for that, for if there was a big surprise to happen, I think it wouldn't happen at WrestleDream. It would happen down the line, maybe the end of the year.
I'm okay with them taking their time with it. I think this is fun. Last thing on this I do want to say is Beer Money says, why is Pac never in anything but his wrestling tights? He needed to be in a V-neck also. You know, at first I thought the same thing, but you know, I like the idea that Pac never wears anything else. Like him driving to the next town in his tights.
Yeah, he's always in that. He doesn't shower. He doesn't bathe. It's just that all the time.
Like him in a restaurant, like eating his tights. Him taking like him earning his master's at night in class.
Grocery store, like all the time, just at the gym.
Everywhere. He's in church in his tights, just sitting there. I don't know, just the most absurd places. He's in jury duty, just sitting in his tights.
Swimming, like practicing his breaststroke, you know.
So that's the next question for the chat. Everyone, let us know where Pac wears just his wrestling gear that is absurd, that you could see him.
Disneyland.
He's out building a snowman just in his in his tights.
Is it Universal Haunted Horror Nights or whatever? Halloween Horror Nights?
The monster's like, boo! Why are you dressed like that?
He's actually scaring them.
Yeah. I mean, Pac would terrify me if I tried to jump out and scare him. Would not go the way I wanted it to, let me tell you. Christian Cage comes out with the Patriarchy and cuts a promo, and he talks about how Killswitch and him are still on the same page. But then he says, one of my favorite things I've ever heard, he's got this contract, it's kind of like a Money in the Bank contract, and he says that he is the reigning and defending undisputed next AEW champion. And that, to me, was absolute gold. That was gold. I want to talk about the rest of the promo, but that just stood out to me so much.
He was so he's always so good on the mic and just so in it. And he does it with such a straight face. And that I love that. I popped real hard on that one.
I got a shout. Secular Belt says Pac will wear tights to MJF's big movie premiere. I want to ask you about Christian. I think Christian's killing it right now. I think he's doing so good. Like he is, I am blown away by how talented he is. I wasn't always a Christian guy, to be honest with you, but he has absolutely blown me away. I want you to think about all pro wrestling right now. Okay, we're expanding. We're expanding beyond Wednesday nights. Where do you rate Christian as a bad guy? As far as, is he like the best bad guy? Is he like the fifth best bad guy? Off the hip, we won't hold you to it, but just like.
Ooh, so much. I would say he's like, of like current bad guys.
Just who's on TV right now.
I would say he's like I would say five. He's probably number five.
Five.
Really? Number four, maybe. Four or five.
I got number one. I think he's the best bad guy in pro wrestling right now. I think. Okay. I mean, I don't know anyone who's a worse bad guy than him. He is just vicious.
I mean, Drew McIntyre's pretty close. Moxley's trying to get up there.
Moxley's doing pretty good too. I just every time Christian's out there, I'm like, man, he's sunk to a new low. And it's like not in a fun. It's kind of fun, like the undisputed.
It is fun though. And then when he does like the post scrum conferences in like full heel mode, you're like, he's not breaking this at all. Like.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's so good. But I feel like he's finally in his element. Like he can really be free and really kind of get to that creative juices there I think this is one of his best runs.
I think he should be the one to end Bryan Danielson's career. I think he's that good right now. I think he's the guy.
I know a lot of people believe that, want that.
But who do you want to end Bryan Danielson's career? I'm going to say it like that instead of who do you want to beat Bryan? Who do you want to just end? Fire to end the career. Let's talk about, we got a championship match in this one. Jack Perry defending the TNT championship against Leo Rush. Perry jumps Rush to start things off, and after some speculation about Aubrey Edwards meeting with the Young Bucks, ejects Action Andretti from ringside. We get a knee shot. Perry wins. This is his third title defense. Later, he tells Alex Marvez, people like him are crucified in this life so they can be worshipped in the next. Any takeaway here?
I mean, I really, really love this match. I think Jack Perry, you know, obviously against Leo Rush was really powerful, obviously solidifying again, what he wants from this moment for him. And I, you know, I haven't always necessarily been a fan of his matches, but this I actually like really, really enjoyed tonight. He spoke with such poetic imagery, right? Like what you just recapped is you could see that in your head. Like he's going to be beyond this lifetime and this, like this, this moment. And so it kind of added like a really kind of creepy, ethereal kind of beyond the grave kind of feel, which I think is adding to his character.
His character, I've said before, has been so good since his return to AEW. And it's starting to feel like, it felt like it was definitely like just an idea at first, but he's really starting to flesh it out with the truck, with the jacket, with the way he kind of carries himself. And it's almost this like, I don't want to say crazy, but almost like he's a bit delusional about who he is and what his situation is. And the idea of everyone needs to sacrifice. And I just think that he's onto something special. I think that if he continues this, he's going to be a star. This just feels cool what he's doing.
He's kind of building that he's like this god, right? He's building where I think people are going to start he's going to have segments where people start worshiping him, and he's going to have this, he's not human anymore kind of quality. And I think his matches are slowly kind of building to that, where it's the type of work that he's doing is like beyond human comprehension, and eventually it's going to be even more over the top. And but that's to your point, he has to get there, and he has time to get there. But with the way he's talking, it's like he wants people to worship him.
Now he keeps doing these Snapdragon suplexes, and commentary continues to talk about how it's mocking Kenny Omega. Do you think Kenny Omega might be returning soon, or is this just sort of something Jack Perry is playing with? I don't know. What do you think that something's there?
I don't know. I don't get the feeling that he's mocking. I think from like a behind the scenes perspective, I think everyone kind of either uses people's moves or tries to like revamp them for their own use or kind of build upon them. I don't get that feeling that, because unfortunately I don't think Kenny Omega will be coming back anytime soon. So I don't think that's going to be something that's at least in the near future. I don't know. I don't get that feeling at all that he's making fun of it, but he might be adapting it. Because again, all of these younger talents have watched their idols. So why not take your idol's moves when they're not able to use it themselves?
There is something too about him. You know, even if Kenny Omega's gone for a year and he keeps doing this and they keep planting the seeds, and whenever Kenny Omega comes back, I know nothing about what he's dealing with right now, so I don't know how realistic a return is, but if he comes back, it's already built in too.
Yeah. Plus the Elite. I mean, it's built in story. Yeah.
So that's good stuff. But speaking of built in story, Adam Page says that he would burn 1,000 houses if he could find them. And he said if the cage didn't raise, he would endure an eternity of pain to keep hurting Swerve. Now it's time to punish the people that stood between him and Swerve. And Jeff Jarrett says he's seen guys like this, and Paige will pay for what he's done before Paige kind of beats him up and walks away. I love this pairing. First off, Jeff Jarrett has had a rebirth of his own ever since the Owen and his entrance into there and his promos. Adam Page is on a whole other level right now. I love this as a follow-up rivalry to Swerve.
I like this a lot too. Like, I like how they aren't just like leaving the Swerve stuff behind, but Paige is like building upon it and saying, okay, this is just it. He literally is adding fuel to the fire.
Yes.
And he's building on it. And it's just the visual of like having a whole neighborhood burning and burned down because of Hangman and all this. And then he's going to use all of that frustration against Jared and anyone that stood in his way. Like, this is, he's going to bulldoze the whole roster. Like, this is what it is building to. And he's using all of that, and you love to see it.
Very Clint Eastwood vibes, like him coming into town.
Western, right? It's like an old Western, you know, walking into your town, taking it over. Who's the sheriff?
Well, and that's what's great is you've got the last outlaw, the last cowboy himself, Jeff Jarrett, kind of there as the last defender of the town. Mm-hmm. And we know it's not going to end well for old Jeff Jarrett. I love you, Jeff, but this ain't no slap nuts you're dealing with. This is Hangman Adam Page. But visually, it's great. And also, the reality is you can't go from a heated rivalry like Swerve right into another heated rivalry. You've got to have kind of a rivalry, you know, you're going to win. It's not as hot, but you can keep on moving. Yeah. And that's perfect for what Jeff Jarrett is. And
I would give Jeff Jarrett some advice. And I would say install some fire alarms and smoke alarms in your house. Make sure your batteries, that's a good reminder for everyone. Just make sure your batteries are up to date. They're all good to go. And you have some fire extinguishers because you never know.
Have a fire plan. Have a gathering place outside your home just in case.
Exactly. Have an evacuation plan. Jeff Jarrett should be careful because Hangman likes some fire.
Right. You know, if it was me, I'd stay out of Adam Page's way. I'd say if I saw him walking by, I would just step to the side, get out of the way, move on through. What do you think? What do you think? This guy put a needle through someone's face. Why is anyone in the hallway? If I saw him down the hall, I'd go, I'm going to go hide in this room real quick. See you in five. What are they doing?
Now I know how you handle situations, Jack. You just like go into a room and close the door.
That's my evacuation plan.
No. But then he's going to burn it down. That's not smart. You have to get out of the building.
That's a fair point. Maybe I've watched too much NXT outside of the building in the parking lot. More dangerous than inside the building over there.
I mean, that's true. It depends on what you're watching. Then you got to watch it. If it's a parking lot, you got to move out of the way. Drive away.
Yeah. Listen, basically what I'm saying is if I was in the arena and I saw Adam Page, I would drive three towns over. That's what I'm doing.
That's a
and then
I'd
use a fake ID to check into a motel. So that he didn't, and I'd pay with cash. So
never
they didn't
use
know.
Card, Jeff. Use cash.
They would never know where I was. And I'd start my new life. That's what I would do. That's how I started this one. Anyways, we have at one time people would have called a dream match. Ricochet versus Sammy Guevara. Competitive one with Ricochet getting the win. After the match, the Beast Mortos gores Ricochet, but is chased off by Sammy Guevara. Again, this is one that I think not too long ago, we would call this a dream match between WWE and AEW. Thoughts on Ricochet and how he's done so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a really great pairing. They both obviously got in. You know, we saw all of the favorite moves from Ricochet. And it seems like, you know, after this match, there might be some type of partnership or pairing, or at least some maybe a small alliance between the two of them, which would be interesting to kind of see if Ricochet is going to go complete singles competition or go into like some tag team action, maybe. Because I feel like both of them working together would be really impressive.
Yeah. The Beast Mortos has been doing some trios action. And of course, Sammy and Dustin, like you said, they're Ring of Honor tag team. Maybe they get a trios team going with Ricochet. What are your thoughts on Sammy Guevara? Now, he was someone who was at one time talked about as a pillar of AEW, always on just about every episode. Now he's on Ring of Honor. Do you think they need to start working him back on to Dynamite? Do you like him on Ring of Honor? What are your thoughts on where Sammy Guevara is at right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because he was getting such a solid run and really going hard on all the programming. We would see him almost every week. And I feel like it's kind of calmed down just because there's been such an influx of new talent. And you have to kind of figure out who would, again, like with the addition of Ricochet, I feel like this matchup was really, really solid. And Sammy Guevara could kind of build upon Ricochet's moveset and kind of showcase a little bit different things that we haven't seen before. So I feel like you can't put all of your stuff out there every week, right? So this kind of gave Sammy a time to kind of refresh. And so I think we might see more, with kind of these new talents, arising. And yeah, I think Ricochet, I don't know if he's solely on Dynamite, and he might hop over to ROH. I'm not sure. But I'd be interested to see kind of his trajectory.
Fernando says, I really am a huge fan of Beast Mortos. Man, I love Beast Mortos. I'm going to tell a story. I got to do commentary for Prestige Wrestling, and we had a wrestler who couldn't make it. So they had to bring in a mystery opponent. And let me tell you, it was, didn't know who it is. You know, we're wondering who's going to be. And this Beast Mortos comes to the crowd, this snarling, just disgusting man beast comes through and just tore the house down. I got to see him in person. I'm a huge fan of his. Jeff Bailey says, you would think they'd have bigger ideas for Ricochet. They seem to not have a plan for him. I think the plan is Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. They're just trying to not rush it.
We talked about it. It can't be rushed.
Because if they do it today, then it's like, well, Will Ospreay just got the title and we don't want to see Ricochet lose this quickly. So you just got to give him stuff to do so you can build to it is all.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't have it too soon. I mean, I think we both said like maybe at World's End, that might be one of the big, the big matches.
Yeah. I think World's End will probably be where it takes place, and that's a great time to do it. Okada, it says being the Continental Champion, defending the Continental Championship was the easiest thing he's ever done at All Out. But Don Callis wants a one-on-one with Takeshita, which it seems like that's going to happen. I got a question for you. This match, I think we're all ready for this. It's going to be great. Is Okada a good guy? I mean, I know he's aligned with the bad guys, but this guy, like everything he does makes everyone cheer. I feel like this is a good guy.
Yeah, so I know we've talked about this, and this debate happens online, is happening here. I'm sure the chat is going to have opinions, but I don't see him as a bad guy. No. He just has this like funny, silly side to him that is not working in the villain bad guy realm.
No,
it's just he's having way too much fun in the backstage promos. I mean, and you could be a bad guy and have fun, but like, it's just not and maybe they're gonna like have a switch. But I just he's too like charming and silly, and I mean, you could be evil and charming, but yeah, it's not working for me. I just see him in a different light, you know.
I like Fernando says Okada is a sneaky baby face. Yeah, he's just too like when he came back and called Don Callis the B word. We're not allowed to say it on this show. It was we all cheered. It was great. It was like a fantastic moment. And I kind of wonder. I don't know if you've noticed this, Emily, but he's not hanging out with the Elite anymore. I don't think he's actually been with the Young Bucks in a while now. And I wonder if this is an intentional thing they're doing to distance them so that Okada can just go the good guy route. Cause Takeshita clearly is the bad guy in this situation.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, he had black fingernails. I mean, outside of a goatee, that's the biggest giveaway.
And the evil, like, yeah, no, I think there's, I sounded like a horse. I don't know why. I don't know why.
It's an evil horse.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. That was so bad.
That's a terrifying horse.
The horse will be wrestling Okada next week on Dynamite.
Hangman Adam Page's new tag team partner.
The evil horse. Oh my goodness. It's been a long day, Jack. It's still early for you. It's pretty late for me.
Yes.
I lost my train of thought. Right. I just see an evil horse galloping down the entrance ramp.
With the mustache, by the way.
With the giant mustache.
With a horse tied to the train tracks, a female horse tied to the train.
Help. We lost it. We're off. Speaking of trains, we're off the track.
we're derailed. Carlos says, I think eventually Bucks turned on Okada to solidify him as a good guy. And then Mike says, I wonder how many people are cheering for Okada because of New Japan Pro Wrestling or because of him now. I always feel like if people are cheering for you, it doesn't matter why.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think he's just a fan favorite. Like, I think everyone loves him. And so I think it's hard to have him play a heel. I think they got to lean into him being such a friendly, fun guy and just use those talents, use what he's good at. And amplify that. So I think hopefully that's where it's turning into.
Well, Mariah May has a match with Queen Aminata, an eliminator match for the women's championship. Aminata makes a fight out of it, but Mariah May gets the win and then laments not having her championship celebration while calling out for Mina Shirakawa. The storyline continues. They have a second act, Emily.
We want Mina. Everyone needs to chant it. We want Mina.
It's what I love about this is that AEW's gotten a hard time sometimes about their storytelling, but this shows that they've had layers built in by introducing Mina earlier. Mm-hmm. And look, anyone who watches the show, I like to admit when I'm wrong. I was like, I don't understand why Mina's here when she first came out. I didn't understand who she was or what the connection was. I knew they had a connection in Stardom, but as an American viewing audience, I didn't get it. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. I know that if something happens in a comic book, but if someone just shows up in a Marvel movie, I'm like, I don't know who this person is. You got to tell me who they are. But that said, now that we're this far along, I go, it was great that they introduced her because now there's another act. Now it continues.
Exactly. Like, it's such continued long-term storytelling, and it was such good pacing at the end of the match where Mariah just was like overwhelmed with emotion, looking out, you know, at the camera and the crowd. And just, we were wondering like, who is she missing? And it's like, that's the missing piece. And mm-hmm. It's going to be so good. And I wonder like if they're going to, again, you don't want it to be a repeat, right? Of friends turning on each other. But are they going to be facing each other? Are they going to be teaming up? Is Mina going to help Mariah like she helped Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all, I know, going to unfold, but I want more Mina. So that's all. So I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it. I'm also happy that Queen Aminata had some time on TV because she's fantastic. Yes. And
I love her. I've watched her so much in person, and I'm so happy she got this shot tonight.
I would say it was back during the pandemic time, and Queen Aminata made her first AEW appearances, mostly on Dark. And I used to do a little segment called Farmer's Market. And I call it Farmer's Market because it was like a stock market where you pick the stocks to buy, but also it's fresh produce. My name, Farmer. I have to explain it every time. I picked Queen Aminata as a buy stock. And I feel like that pick long term is panning out. She continues to grow, continues to do great things. And I hope she's on Dynamite more. I think she's so talented. I think she's someone that has so much personality. She has the look. She's good in the ring. She can talk. Queen Aminata, let's get her some more time on Dynamite. Why don't we? Or exactly. Shockwave when
let's
it happens.
Make it happen. Yeah, Shockwave, the new show that's rumored and was trademarked, right? This week or last week? Yeah.
Let's put on Fox TV Shockwave. That's rumored innuendo is going to happen, right?
Let's book it.
Tony Khan, I know you're watching. Make it happen. I don't think Tony Khan watches. But if you do, he's got like six jobs. How does he have the time to watch this? I don't know.
Don't we all have 19 jobs? So
it is 2024. We all have to have. They're side hustles, okay?
No, they're just hustles. When you have 10 of them, they're just hustles.
Yeah, it's just hustling. We got the Learning Tree. They ride up in a Bentley, and then Jericho reminds us of the $7,000 jacket Orange Cassidy ruined. So after the Learning Tree beats the Iron Savages, Orange Cassidy repays Jericho to the exact penny by dumping the change on the Bentley. Emily, I get what they were doing here, but I was disgusted seeing this beautiful car ruined.
You know, I am a huge car fan. Like, I love some classic cars, and this broke my heart. It's gonna smell like copper. It's gonna be scratched. That made me quite sad. And Jack, how'd you feel about, you know, Jericho's jacket? $7,000 ruined? What? How would you? You have some nice suits, Jack. I don't know if you have a $7,000 suit, but
I don't know if all my suits together are $7,000.
But your most maybe all of your suits combined.
Yeah.
How would you feel? Just
smelled like orange.
No. Yes, destroyed by orange juice.
I'd be devastated. And then to find out my brand new Bentley, by the way, I don't know if it's because I've watched too much wrestling, but when he pulled up in that Bentley, I knew in that moment, I was like, this poor Bentley, this isn't going to
end well. Yeah, I know. Bentley. I was like, that Bentley's going to be ruined somehow.
Now he did say that in the backpack, the old best friends photo was in there. Do you think they're teasing a return of the best friends, or was that just a MacGuffin to get Jericho to say something in the ring?
A MacGuffin. I don't know. They did a lot of like little like Easter egg drops tonight of like maybe potential things. So I could maybe see that. Maybe it got him emotional, and so maybe that was the strategy there of like trying to get him. I mean, he obviously was very upset about the car, but I think it just added to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we got a great segment here. Nigel McGuinness comes out, says that he's sick and tired of being an afterthought to Bryan Danielson's success. So he finally gets what he's wanted for 10 years or whatever it's been. He is going to get a shot with Bryan Danielson. This is a pretty big thing for wrestling fans and for these two. Walk me through it.
I mean, when I saw him come out I saw him to rewind a little bit. I saw Nigel McGuinness come out live at All in London in the Gauntlet Casino Gauntlet match. And we were shocked. Like, I saw him kind of leave commentary, but I was like, it's a long show and he's been on it for a while. Maybe they're switching. You know, they switch people out, right? They have people swap out. So I was like, okay. So I didn't think anything about it. And just a little inside, his family was to the left of me. And so when that moment happened, the whole, like, I can't even tell you, chills. Just a whole arena of just people screaming and crying. And I even cried. And there was just goosebumps. And we're like, is he really going to compete tonight? And he had his moment. It was incredible. But the fact that I even asked Tony Khan this, I said, is he going to return to commentary? Is this a one-off? And Tony was like, no, he's going to return to commentary. It's a one-off. Like, so the fact that this happened tonight, I was shocked. I was like, oh, he's in the ring again, but he's you know, what does he have to say? And this is huge. This is going to be a historic match. This is unprecedented. I know so many people have wanted this match.
Yeah.
I think Danielson did. Nigel did. Fans do. And I got chills again tonight watching this announcement. Because I just never thought I would see it.
Right.
Nigel's story is so up and down, and it's a roller coaster, and it's heartbreaking. And this is like his redemption story. We talked about chapters. This is his new chapter. This is his epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for it. I'm so excited for it.
It's so cool to see wrestlers. We live in an age where so many wrestlers had the chance to have a second chance when they thought their career was over.
Yeah.
And because it wasn't that long ago, someone would injure their ACL and they'd be done, and that'd be their career or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so many wrestlers' careers ended, but now they're able to come back. And it's so cool to see people get to write their ending the way they want it written.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying that this doesn't make sense. Shouldn't he have won the match to get the contract instead? If Bryan Danielson can't compete in the title match, why can he compete against Nigel McGuinness? All this stuff. And I just want to evoke the Stephen A. Smith meme of, we don't care. I don't care. This is great. I want to see this matchup. I think this is so cool. I think it's such a great opportunity. It's a historic thing that you have a very small window to make happen.
Mm-hmm.
So does it make sense story-wise? Are they fudging the numbers a little bit? Sure. I don't care.
Yeah.
That I'm getting.
Yeah. And it goes back to that point. It's like sometimes everyone gets stuck in the weeds. Everyone gets stuck in like making sure that this string attaches to this and it's tied perfectly and this and that. And it's like, don't worry about all those little details. Just enjoy the moment. Enjoy that this announcement happened, that this match is going to happen. We have all the buildup. And Nigel gets his second moment to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should just all enjoy it. Again, sometimes we get lost in all of, and we don't live in the moment. And we got to live in the moment. Nigel is.
Yeah.
So let's take a let's take a note from his book.
Absolutely. The real DM hunk, Dylan Matthews, saying, I'm glad Sir Nigel McGuinness will have the opportunity to represent the Commonwealth and put an end to Bryan Danielson's career. You know,
that'd
Dylan,
be a wild
I gotta say
turn.
That. I know that he represents the Commonwealth, but I gotta tell you, Bryan Danielson is from my home state of Washington. However, he's from Aberdeen, and I represent Tacoma. Boo, Aberdeen. Boo. So I'm with you, Nigel McGuinness. Let's go. I liked you even when you were Desmond Wolf. Let's go. So,
do you think Nigel McGuinness will bring fire to the match?
It'll be a fire match for sure, I guarantee you. Carlos says, okay, then I'll trust you, Jack. I trust Jack. I trust you already came through with Fletcher getting a dub. Let's talk about Fletcher getting a dub. We had the Casino Gauntlet match. Don Callis calls in the favor to Will Ospreay to be Kyle Fletcher's partner in this whole thing. Takeshita ain't happy about it, but we had FTR, Ospreay, and Fletcher, the Righteous, Undisputed Kingdom, the Acclaimed, the MXM Collection, Top Flight, Outrunners, and Grizzled Young Veterans. But it's Ospreay and Fletcher that get the win. They are the new number one contenders. First off, let's talk Casino Gauntlet match. How do you like the Casino Gauntlet match? Have we talked about this before? What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I really enjoyed the one we saw at All In. I think it has that surprising element. It does have that like Royal Rumble feel, but like on a smaller scale where you have some participants you might know that are participating and then others are a surprise. So I like that feeling of like anticipation you know, you might have alliances form. You have the ability to like build those little story, those little micro stories kind of within, you know, like the partnership that happened tonight. And I like it a lot. I think it needs to be defined a little bit in like the time restraints and the rules a little bit. But I enjoy it, the concept of it.
I love this. I love this kind of match. I will say I think they need to pump the brakes on doing it so often, though, because they did just have the singles one not too long ago. So I would love to see it be a once a year thing like the Royal Rumble. Because of the nature of it, I don't think you can main event it, though. I'd love to see it be like the the first match on a Revolution card or All Out or All In. You know what I mean? Like, that's always the thing that starts the show. But I think you could build so many stories with this because it is like the Royal Rumble, but the first fall ends it. So, you know, you could have people fighting for spots like, you know, let's say you win the match, you get to pick what spot you come in, or you win a match that lets you pick whatever number you want.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in first because that's early, but if you come in last, you may not even get a chance to enter.
Yeah. I mean, they could have a tournament to determine like over the course of a few weeks, they have a tournament to decide like each win they get to pick a number. Right. But again, you don't, if you're number 30, sometimes, you know, if there is, if someone's already, you know, won, you don't get that chance. You're stuck in the back.
Right. So it makes it very fascinating, the strategy of what number are you going to get, how that can work. I think that because of the nature of it, you're always wondering. At any moment, the match could end, which makes it very exciting as well. So I love this. I don't want them to do it every – they need to slow it down, I think, and only do it like once a year, because otherwise we're going to – it's going to lose its charm. Ospreay Fletcher getting the win. Do you like the, I mean, obviously they're exciting, but did you, based on the other teams, would you have wanted another team to win, or would this have been the team you would have picked?
No, I think this is the team I would pick. It makes, I think it makes the most sense. For them to be together and get this win. Yeah.
I kind of did myself no favors because I started fantasy booking surprise teams that aren't even a part of AEW. And
that's never a good move. That's your mistake.
It's my fault. I'll blame myself.
You're not a good, how's your fantasy football team doing? Not very good.
So I got one win, but let me tell you, I see my lineup. I'm going to get destroyed this year. This is not going to be a good year for Jack's Farmers. But yeah, I like this team. I mean, they're exciting. I think Fletcher needs a win. I've been praising him for a long time, and everyone's like, he's got to win eventually. And I'm like, he will. Yeah.
He will. Just finding the right moment.
So I'm glad he got the win. I do want to say, I love Vincent and Dutch, the Righteous. I'd love to see them on TV more. I'd like to see him get Tyler Bateman back on in that group. Like MXM is fun. The Outrunners are awesome. There's just so much energy, and Grizzled Young Veterans, FTR, they've got a great tag team division. And I hope that this is a reminder match, really, so that we can kind of see, oh, these are all the teams. And now they can start featuring these teams and have us go, oh, this is our division now.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's like an abundance of riches in relation to like the tag team division? Like, you feel like it's too much right now?
It's too much because they have too many titles. I agree with you, but it's because they have too many. Because, you know, something I just skipped over because it was just a quick promo, was like Hook calling out Roderick Strong for the FTW championship. There's, you know, if you have to have time for the Continental Championship, the International Championship, the TNT Championship, TNT, the AEW World Championship, the Trios Championship, the Women's Championship, the TBS. Like, it's just literally every match could be a championship match, and you're going to run out of time. So in that sense, yes, they have too many. I think if they cleared out some of that and streamlined it a little bit, then it's nice to have this depth, because you're going to need teams that don't win all the time. And so it's nice to have that balance so that you can have those teams, and it's not just the same four teams having the same
type of matches. The same back and forth. And that's what I like. It is such an intricate tag team division. Like, there's so many like angles and kind of ways they could go about this. So I feel like you're right. It is like so many titles right now, and it's like, I feel like they're going to continue to have these big tag team matches, and it's just so many people. And how do you link them, and how do you kind of track that and make it matter to the fans watching? Because if they see the same people over and over again every week facing each other, when it gets to a pay-per-view, what's going to make, I think that's why they've had so many ladder matches and some of those big matches for the tag teams, because it makes it, it elevates the match where it's different than the weekly show.
Right. So I thought this was a fun one, but before we go, everyone in the chat, let me know your overall thoughts of the show and make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. But Emily, what are your final thoughts and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, this was a fun episode of Dynamite. I'm so glad we got to do a whole week of shows together, Jack.
Well, you did the whole week. I only did a couple.
I know, I'm feeling it. thank you all for supporting me. And you can follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. I have some exciting things happening this weekend, so follow me along on my wrestling journey. I'm not in the ring, but, you know, talking about it.
Right. And you're pretty darn close, though.
I'm pretty darn close. Sometimes I get in the ring. You'll see me on I think I'm doing Raw on Monday, NXT on Tuesday as well. So join us on Wink.
Very cool. Yeah, you had a chat with Glenn yesterday for NXT, which was a big show.
It was a huge show. So we're getting ready for that CW debut.
Yeah, so everyone check that out. That was a good one. I thought this was a really fun show. I feel like AEW, I've said for a while, since the turn of the year, I feel like they've started slowly pivoting the company and how they present things and do things. And I feel like every time they do a big show, it gets a little bit better and a little bit better. And this one with the video packages and the big stories and things like that, I think it's coming along very, very well. So I loved this. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And you can follow me on here on Wrestling Inc. I do AEW. I do Raw. I cover both those and then other shows sometimes too. Whenever I hear the call, Emily, you know, up in Wrestling Inc. Tower, they blow onto the big Wrestling Inc. seashell. And if you hear it, you gather.
You gather. Yes.
To cover, you know,
it's a circle of podcasters.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. sometimes they send up the smoke signal from the top of Wrestling Inc. Tower.
Yeah. Have you gotten that bat signal?
Yeah. It shows up. It's a giant W in the sky. And I say, I have to go. My people need me. And I leave and I head to my podcasting station. But make sure to follow Wrestling Inc. for all your latest wrestling news. And also make sure to tune into the SmackDown after show on Friday. This is a great time, Emily. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Thank you so much. I am hitting the end stream button. Boop.
Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big.